There's good news this morning for small business owners affected by bushfires across the country, with the government announcing cash grants and cheap loans to support them. Many of the businesses suffering significant losses this summer are in the tourism and hospitality sector, as tourists, both local and domestic, cancel their Australian holidays. The Morrison government yesterday pledged a $76 million package to restart the industry.
This is really re-education remedial money. We have an enormous international problem in terms of the way people are now viewing us. We're going to have to do another big piece of brand work, but I think that's a bit further down the track.
That's Margie Osmond from the Tourism and Transport Forum yesterday. This morning, we're revisiting two of the key fire grounds to discuss what it'll take to restart the tourism industry there. Alison Myers is the president of the Batemans Bay Business and Tourism Chamber on the south coast of New South Wales, and Michael Pingelli is the Mayor of Kangaroo Island. Welcome to both to breakfast.
Good morning, Norman.
Good morning, Norman.
Hi,
good
Michael. Mm. Yes, Michael, you've got a huge international brand in Kangaroo Island. What have these fires cost the industry so far?
Well, in monetary terms, I really don't know, but if we don't turn it around very quickly, it'll be enormous. It's cost jobs already with the destruction of some accommodation places out west. And around the towns now, there are few, if any, visitors. So the major campaign that started yesterday from both state and feds will assist us to get that going again. It's been a campaign that's been largely driven by social media and fear and a fair bit of nonsense in between, but we're still here. We're open for business. We had a cruise ship in yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that. 2,000 people came ashore.
Yes, they did. It was great.
Did they have fun?
They certainly did. It was fairly cool, but they were mostly from Western Australia and they had a ball.
What did they see? I mean, what was there to see?
They were able to go to places like Seal Bay and Kingscote, some of the beaches. They had a market in Kingscote. They toured around on small tours through American River. So they were able to get out and see quite a bit, actually, including they went past some of the fire ground.
There was a lot of publicity given to the burning of Southern Ocean Lodge, the $1,800 a day, you know, really high-end luxury lodge. What's happening at the other end of the market, the backpacker tourism?
Well, I think that's sort of dropped off the radar as well, and we've just got to get that back. I mean, it dovetails into the farming disaster, the farming sector. Quite a number of people on farms work in the tourism sector as well, so it's a double-edged sword, Norman.
Alison, the Yirrabidalshire has already done an economic analysis of the impact of these fires since early December. What are the numbers?
About $133 million in output at this stage. And
so that's not predicted. That's income foregone.
That's it. Yeah, so it's quite significant and it will take a long time to recoup that.
How many jobs?
About 916.
I mean, in a relatively small community, that is huge.
It is huge. Just the Yirrabidalla region, it's high numbers. It's quite shocking, really, those the numbers that they've put forward. And I'm just not quite sure where to go to from here, but
well, we'll come back to
we've got some work to do.
Well, we come back to that. Is that an even spread of jobs lost across the economy, or is it lumpy, you know, mostly in the accommodation or
Well, I suspect it's through tourism and other businesses. So, it is quite significant.
So you've got a business called Bay Breeze Boutique Accommodation. Might as well give it some publicity, because
yeah.
Anyone wants to go and spend money in Batemans Bay. You've been pretty busy though, but it's been unfortunately with the people coming to the area to help with the crisis.
That's it. So there is a need for crisis accommodation. We haven't had too many evacuees staying with us, but certainly the support network around those evacuation centres with NBN and different entities that are requiring accommodation to come down and support people.
Michael Pingelli, I mean, one of the risks here, so it's great, the government's putting out money, it's saying there's money available, cheap loans, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with, money's fine, but the temptation is that a bureaucrat in Canberra comes and tells you what they think is good for you. I'm not saying the Prime Minister has actually said that, but that's the risk in this when you get down to the ground. If I were to ask you, okay, you're on the ground, you know what's happening on Kangaroo Island, how should this money flow? What should be done with it? Where would you spend money first? Have you thought that through?
Oh, yes, indeed. And the marketing side of it is the key. We just have to get the message out both across Australia and internationally. Perhaps Alison and I could have a visit each other campaign for our visitors. But that's I just thought of that while she was on the phone. But look,
From Batemans Bay International Airport to Kangaroo Island International Airport, right? We've got it.
Yeah, so look, one of our leading operators on the island is off to the USA tomorrow for a month, drumming up his business again. Normally he goes for a week or two. He's off tomorrow. And the state-run campaign, which started last night, Book a Bed's really good. And, you know, we've just got to concentrate on that. A lot of the accommodation is still fine. It's all empty. They've had mass cancellations. One operator told me they've had nearly $1 million cancellations out to October. And that's just ridiculous, quite frankly. Why this happens, I do not know.
I mean, people think the whole country, you know, overseas, that the whole country is burnt, and probably they think the whole of Kangaroo Island has been burnt as well from the publicity. Is it as simple as giving facts, or are there more sophisticated marketing messages that you believe have got to be communicated?
Well, I think it's a question of both, quite frankly, Norman. Look, the images that went out, they're always for fire and burnt out buildings, but the images of our attractions, such as Remarkable Rocks, Admiral's Arch, etc., they haven't changed at all. So, yes, we've lost some accommodation down the West End. Yes, there's still plenty of accommodation here. The ferry companies are offering discount fares for passengers. The airlines have cheaper rates going. So, look, we've just got to convince people to come back. At the Adelaide Hills fire, which occurred, started the same day as ours, they have had enormous numbers of Adelaideans go up there on weekends, enormous numbers. You've got to get across the water to come to Kangaroo Island.
Yeah, it's only a short jump. It's not too much to ask for, instead of going up to the hills. Alison, I'd ask the same question of you. In the South Coast, what would the money be best spent on if you actually were to ask on the ground rather than somebody come in and tell you what's good for you?
Yeah, I think the tourism dollar needs to go internationally. They're the ones that are cancelling. I think the message is quite clear locally and within Australia that they're welcoming tourists again. But it's the international market that's been cancelling going forward from here. Early on in the fire season, we had significant cancellations, you know, through to mid-year and later in the year. So from the media's perspective, that support from media needs to go out that, you know, we're still here, the townships haven't burnt and the beaches are still here and the sky's still blue, so all the tourism facilities are still available for everyone.
So again, you're arguing that it's not infrastructure as much as marketing. You're saying the same thing as Michael.
Yeah, well, I think internationally we had so many calls from international tourists and friends that what they saw was the whole place is burned down, that there's nothing left.
But isn't your annuity income from locals, and it's the locals who are cancelling too? The Australians
yes,
are not coming?
Certainly they were, but that was a lot of it was to do with closed roads. You know, we didn't have an arterial road into us for quite some time, the main road from Canberra north and south. So access was an issue for us personally. And it has been ongoing for, you know, 5 to 6 weeks.
And it's still not absolutely clear. Michael, one of the problems here, of course, is cash flow and enough cash flow to keep your business going until it recovers. And, of course, you can't predict when it's going to recover. So there's kind of an open-ended an open-ended element to this support of local tourism industry until things come back.
Absolutely. And look, the financial institutions on the island have been very good with their customers, whether they be tourism operators or farmers. They've been out talking to them, working out ways to get around it. The cash flow problem is going to be enormous. One of the things that's sort of come to the fore also is the amount of things that have been sent to the island for people who have been victims is causing them not to have to shop. So that immediately translates to supermarkets, et cetera, not getting the people through the doors.
A perverse consequence, yes.
It is, yes.
Just coming back to infrastructure, towns like Mogo, you owned a jewellery store for 20 years there. I mean, can a village like Mogo ever be rebuilt?
Oh, look, Again, Mogo wasn't burnt down altogether, although the media said it had. Two-thirds of it's still there. So I think that even one of the fellows that had a shop there, a leather shop, he had a pop-up store over the weekend and Mogo was pumping. So everyone's going out to support. There was someone here from Wagga that just came down and wanted to support the community and went out to Mogo and did some shopping. So the community's coming together, and I think that the businesses are still intact. They will bring the others around them.
Michael, is the infrastructure support there on Kangaroo Island to come in terms of carpenters, electricians, builders and so on?
Okay, so look, we have limited numbers of tradesmen on the island. Obviously, we've only got a population of 4,500, and we have a visiting tourist population, population of over 200,000. So these guys were flat out before. Fencing contractors are flat out. There will obviously have to be people coming from the mainland when everything's sorted out. Places like Southern Ocean Lodge will be a huge rebuild, and James and Hayley Bailey have said they're going to rebuild that, which is wonderful. So that'll be a huge rebuild. The infrastructure in the parks, the visitor centres, they're all gone. They'll put temporary things in down there to get it open again as soon as possible. The army have been phenomenal down there. They've been clearing the roads out through to Admiral's Arch and Remarkable Rocks. So it was a huge effort going on in getting those places open again ASAP. So we look forward to the rebuild of the farming and tourism industry is going to take some time, and we've just got to get through it. We've got to keep our people on the island, and we've got to somehow or another make it work. It's a pain in the ass, but that's the way it is, Norman.
Well, we'll have the Minister for Tourism on after the 8 o'clock news to find out more detail about this. Thank you both very much indeed to getting that insight from the ground. Alison Myers, who's President of Batemans Bay Business and Tourism Chamber, and Michael Pengelly, who's Mayor of Kangaroo Island.